Good morning.
Well, here we are. Does it seem like a blink that we were starting a new year? Does it seem, I guess that's when you're getting older, is that it? It's kind of like a blink. It's kind of like a blink, you know? I mean, and it's amazing how far we've come. I want to pick up something. I want to thank Matt's message for last week, which is a good message that kind of is going to set the stage for where I am this morning about the power of our song and the song of the Lord. Today I have a question for you, and it's this: are you still singing? Are you still singing? Some of you are not. You're lying. You're not singing. You're just overwhelmed, aren't you? Are you still singing? Everybody say yeah anyway. It's okay. See, God knows you're right. You want it to. God knows you want it to right now. See, here's where this started. Over 2 years ago, and I still have the video. Over 2 years ago, when we started our journey the way it was, I felt the urgency to quickly send out a word for our then temporary predicament. You remember the temporary predicament? Well, you know the rest of the story. Quite the contrary, not temporary. Since that time, over and over, in fact, that was a very strong, I did two radio interviews with Charisma Ministry, and then in different places they asked me what I thought, and I felt that was a good message to give to people during that time about don't lose your song. And I did about 2 weeks, maybe did more than that on it, and because I knew that this temporary thing would be over soon. I just needed to get you from here to there. You understand? It's like after Katrina there and those Sunday mornings for well over 1 year, I only preached one message and I preached it over and over again. Nobody caught on. Nobody caught on. Nobody caught on. Of course, I had different texts, but it was the same concept. And my goal was because people outside of our area, they have no clue of what we were walking through. Ear fatigue had already set in nationally. Oh, come on, snap out of it. They had no idea what you guys were walking through and different. And I had one job every week. I had one job every Sunday to get you to next Sunday. Don't give me some down the road. I just needed to get you to next week. And that was when and that was what I was endeavoring to do. And I think we did okay. But I've been wanting to do a follow-up on why we sing and about the song. And the temporary also too, I have to tell you, I felt tormented in a way with you told the people to keep singing. We were going to be over this pretty soon. Well, you were pretty wrong. That obviously wasn't God. And I'm serious. And you feel that. But I realized that as the temporary predicament has not only stayed, but now morphed into an even wider and a more insidious reach, the urgency to stand by that word has not minimized. It has only increased in my heart. Do you understand? You got to understand, because when hell is kicking it up, you have to meet that head on. You've got to stand flat-footed, and you got to get louder. You have to be smarter. You have to be more anointed. You have to have more behind you right now. So no, and I don't back off of that word saying it's going to, well, in God's mind, it's over in a blink because he's already got it planned. But we're in a difficult time right now. But I stand on this word. And I've come to you this morning to make some definitive statements. Number one, the song of the Lord is powerful. Do you agree with that? The song, come on, you got to help me. The song of the Lord is powerful. You need to know this now. The song of the Lord affects our hearts. Watch. The song of the Lord affects our minds. The song of the Lord even affects our bodies. Do you know that? You see pictures of people who maybe even started the journey with you, and something happened in their life, and their life derailed. Maybe it was difficult times. Maybe it was bad choices. Maybe it was decisions. Maybe it was circumstance. But you can tell by looking at them that there was a point in time where they stopped the word, and they stopped the song, and even their countenance. You don't even have to ask questions. You see it right now. It is very awkward for me sometimes to deal with folks, even in my own peer group, and we look back and my journey, it hasn't been a perfect journey, and it's been rough, and I hide it a lot of times, and I'm good at hiding it, but all of us have gone through difficult things. But I look at some of them and I go, song's dead in that person. You look in their eyes. We saw somebody on TV the other night, and they did a close-up shot, and I said, the person's dead. You know, they're walking around, they're breathing, they're doing things, but the eye, they're dead. There's no song in there. There's no light in there. And so the song of the Lord will affect our hearts. That's toward God. Our minds, that is our inner core there. And then even our physical well-being. You can tell it by appearance. Third statement. Even our enemies know this. The enemies of God know that the song of the Lord is powerful. Let me kick it up a notch. Even the devil knows the song of the Lord is powerful. The song of the Lord. Do you know the devil will let you sing anything else you want to sing? He will let you sing anything else. That's why, see, I'm trying to edit because I got so much in front of me. But let me just jump in real fast. You see right now, especially in millennial, this is not a drive-by beat up, but in some of the younger ones that have grown up in the last couple of years, and some of the people that have grown up even out of the word of the Lord in their lives, some of them actually, well, I don't like all those Christmas songs. Well, because I'm going to tell you what, they've taken the joy message out of the Christmas songs. I sing Merry Christmas Baby sometime at home, walking around and with the spoon, and I sing into the spoon or the brush. I do that. I sing Walking in the Winter Wonderland. We our playlist is so eclectic, you can't believe our playlist right now. It is a crazy playlist. Our Christmas playlist, we might have Chicago singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and turn right around, I got the Gaither Vocal Band, and then I've got the Messiah playing at the same time, but it is all around the worship and the word. All around the worship and the word. And consequently, the celebration, you've taken the message out of it, so there's no reason for it. So the celebration songs of today are hollow because they offer nothing. Does that make sense? All right, now I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a few weeks. You can tell that I'm doing three messages at once right now on my computer right now, and they all kind of run together. See, the devil will let you sing anything else. I heard a country station, they were playing Alan Jackson, Daddy, Please Don't Come Home Drunk This Christmas. You know, and I'm thinking, that's not the message that we want to be saying right now. But we want it. Also, too, I went back and I looked at the one scripture that I read. I'm not going to read any other scripture I read before. But remember, I opened this way. They know, the powers of hell know the song of the Lord is powerful. Psalm 95, verse 1, 2, 3. Oh, come. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Now, in the message that I did originally to you, I used that. And remember that I stopped each time and I used the word us. Let us. And part of the problem of losing our song, that in our temporary predicament, the let us part was taken away from us. But there's a power in the let us together, lifting our voices together. So I move away from that, but I remember definitely saying that to you. Well, let me go a little bit deeper right now. Let me look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 1 is a very interesting psalm. It's a song about God's faithfulness. He said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now notice, how do you do that? And to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Next verse, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Now, okay, that is how you even approach your day. You wake up in the morning, Lord, you are good. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be the day. It's the day of the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. This, you declare that thing. And then when your head hits the pillow, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, it wasn't spectacular, but you got me through it right now, right? Lord, you know, and you're laying there, and it's a thankfulness at night. You notice that? And notice that, and then what happens the next morning? Your feet hit the floor, and that's to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness at night. Then he talks about the worship on an instrument of 10 strings. That's what we did. The lute, the harp with harmonious sound. Verse number 4. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. Remember when I told you that praise is good for our body, it is good for our minds, it is good for our hearts? Lord, you have made me glad. Sunday school, we sing, he has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. And we do, you got that. He said, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. Stop right there. You know what you are? You're the work of his hands. You're the work of his hands. You're the work of his hands. You might look in the mirror and say, hey, Lord, I must have got some of the spare parts. I don't know. A friend of ours said his little grandson was sitting in his lap one day and he was playing with his face as little kids are normally do like that. And he's playing with that thing under there, under his chin a little bit. And he's doing that. And he said, Grandpa, is it true that God made all of us? He said, yeah. He said, well, he's doing a better job these days, isn't he, though? The work of your hands. All right, watch this now. Oh, Lord. I like that, oh, Lord. That, oh, Lord, is not, oh, Lord. It's, oh, Lord, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, God, you're great. You're great, God. How great are your works? And your thoughts are very deep. Two things right there. How great are your works? Everything God does is great. And then your thoughts are very deep. In fact, one translation here says, and your thoughts toward me are very deep. You got that? Your thought toward me is deep. It's not just, hey, no. Man, I love you. I love you more than you love yourself. I can see where this is going. And if you won't make that turn down there the wrong way, you're going to see it too at the same time right now. And you say, well, that's really good. Remember when I said right now that people who do not understand the depth of the lyric of the gospel of Christmas that we have, it doesn't make sense to them right now. Now watch, David says the same thing. It says, the senseless man does not know. Now this is where we are in our world today, okay? The senseless man does not know, nor does the fool understand this. Stop right there. The Message Bible, it's not going to be up there, but I wrote it in my notes. See that scripture? Here's what the Message Bible said. It's fun. He said, a foolish-minded man will not understand a whole bunch of this. There's a lot of things that a senseless man does not understand. He doesn't understand those things that are spiritual. Why? Because the real part of our walk is a spiritually discerned walk. And that is a good, good thing. And you're here today, really is validated in verse 13 when you lifted joy, unspeakable joy. This is why we need our gatherings. Verse 13 of the same chapter. But those who are planted. Remember he's talking about senseless people who don't discern, don't know, but those who are planted, that's us. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. You got to say, oh God. Oh God, thank you. What is in the house of the Lord? What's in the house of the Lord? Life, love, food, direction, equipping, safety. We learn how to grow. We learn how to cope. We learn how to visit. We learn how to praise. We even learn how to imitate when we don't know how. We see somebody that's making the walk and we start that way. And then it becomes us. Then it becomes us. Start here. Where do you start? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for it is good. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing it. Declare it in Jesus' name today. You say, well, I don't know where to start. Well, just get as big as you can get. Get as big as you can get. In fact, one writer said, it is impossible to exaggerate the greatness of our God. It is impossible to exaggerate the greatness of our God. It is impossible to do. Just go big. Go for the fence. Go big right now. Don't leave anything on the field. Go for the fence. God, you are great to be praised. Lord, you are the good God. It is impossible to exaggerate the greatness of our God. The same boy in chapter 105, verse 1, 2, 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deed among the people. In other words, that's a testimony as you're walking. God, you know, there's sometimes, and I'll go in a secular place, and so, this happened. Well, that's how we prayed. We're just going to be believing for that. We're just going to be believing for that right now. We're going to be believing right there. I got to tell you, well, how do you do that? 3 points. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Matt broke down some of the verbiage there, and I'll read that one scripture as we get near the end this morning. But you can start. You don't know where to start? Read out loud what the psalm says. And then you become your own message Bible, where you said, Lord, you did this, Lord, you did that. Make it topical. Make it what you did as you look back, right? Sing to him, sing praises. And then it should affect your vocabulary. Talk of all his wondrous works. Next verse says, glory, that really means praise, but glory in his holy name. Remember I said praise affects three things? It affects our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Of course, it affects other things, and I'll prove that in just a minute right now. But there's three points here. Let the hearts of those who rejoice seek the Lord. Three points: sing it, talk it, praise him. How do you do that? How you doing on your song? Oh, well, I kind of slowed down. That's okay. Sing it where you are. Speak it where you are. Praise him where you are. Start there. That's great. Over 2 years ago, I gallantly pronounced, don't lose your song. It shouldn't be long. I look at that now and I go, you're nuts. You're dummy. I even told myself that. I believed it. But I still believe it on this side of it. 15 days to be a good citizen became multiplied days of misery, misdirection, and now maniacal malfeasance. But I kept saying over and over, and sometimes I had to do it to short circuit what I really could see with my natural eyes. You understand that? I was not being disingenuous. I was not ignoring that. You know, I have a problem with the super spiritual that are more spiritual than the world right there, and their arm is hanging by one little thing. Oh, I'm fine. There's nothing. No, your arm's about to fall off if you don't do something there, and you're hurting, you're losing blood. Do something about it. Don't sit under a tree. Every good gift comes from God. Go get the dang thing fixed, and then you can raise it when it's working right, okay? Because God made all those things. God, Mary Alice, God actually did a rebuilding and a restoring of bone, did he not? He's still in the business. I kept saying, don't do it. And at that time, I realized that I called it my quarantine song. Why? Because I'd never been here before and I didn't know what else to call it. And I knew people were waiting to say, well, what are you going to say about it? But here's what I know at this point. It's more important than ever. It has not lost its energy. It has not lost its promise. It has not lost its truth. And it has not lost its anointing. So keep doing it right now. We need something. We need to sing a praise song because it does affect our minds. It does affect our bodies. It does affect our spiritual man right now. Psalm 147, it is good to keep the song rolling, for it is pleasant. Praise is beautiful. You've heard me do this for years when we lead worship a lot of times, and especially when you're teaching people about worship the first few times and you're doing teachings about it. One of the things why we do it, we naturally there are traditions that we do, but they should not be dead and vain traditions. They should be live things. And if they're dead, you get rid of them. He said, but thou, David said in Psalm 22, he said, but thou art holy, O God, that inhabits the praises of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? However, that's not magic, okay? Because we quote that out of context. God's here when we do this. Do you know what it takes sometime to get there? Psalm 22, just the first couple verses. I'm not going to go to it quite yet. I'm going to tell you about it. You read that, you jump up and down, you wave your hands. Thank you, Jesus. But there are a few things going on in Psalm 22. First off, Psalm 22 is a cry of agony from a godly person. Notice that. A godly person crying out in agony. He's going through a difficult time. He's crying and he has yet to see deliverance. See it? He's crying out to God in Psalm 22. We jump up and down about verse 3, but here's where it comes from. Here's the etymology of this chapter right there. It is also, David is speaking almost a prophetic pronouncement of the unthinkable agony that Jesus is going to come forth with and have to walk through. He doesn't even know about it, but he is actually prophetically speaking in that praise of what's going to be prophetically fulfilled years and years and years after he's been dead. And it's there for us to look right now. Psalm 22 is a revelation without complete understanding. You understand that? There are some things that I know in my heart and my spirit, the things I know because I read them, but I don't know how it's going to happen. because I know I can't make it work. And but God's gonna. I've had to say, God, you're really gonna have to pull the rabbit out of this hat right now. God, you're really gonna have to come through. God, you're gonna have to do it. But it is a this Psalm 22. It's actually a revelation of God, but he doesn't have a full understanding of God. He doesn't even have a full understanding of the power of the words that he is uttering. He has no understanding of the future fulfillment. He did not know everything, but there was enough in him that he knew that if he did this, he knew that it would be his only hope. The bottom line of David's life here is that the Messiah knows about our pain. The Messiah that was coming would know about our struggles because he experienced every one of those things. And at all points, he was tempted. He was touched by the feelings and the things that infirm our bodies and our minds. David was praying with a revelation of that concept when he was writing that thing. And there was a thread. Let me show you. He didn't open up saying, God inhabits the praise of his people. David's hanging off the ledge. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, I sang the song for 2 weeks. I did what I thought you wanted me to do. I said that I don't feel any better right now. And I don't see how you're going to work this out, God. He said, why are you so far from helping me? Don't act holy. You've all said that. And from the words of my groaning, oh God, I cry in the daytime. Notice he was not, his feet weren't hitting the floor declaring the goodness of God in the morning. There was he. No, he went back and forth. He said, but do you not hear me? In other words, one translation, God, why are you silent? And in the night season, he wasn't laying back saying, Lord, you're faithful, like I read before. Same guy, wrote the same thing. He wasn't laying on his bed. Here's what he said in the night season. This is when it really gets bad, y'all. I am not silent. In other words, I'm getting loud. David, one time in one of his writings, he said, God, my bed's wet from the tears. I'm wallering in my sheets. I'm just rolling. You get those hot nights, your air's out and you're rolling in them sheets. And it's just hot and they're sticking to you. And you're laying there right now. He said, I got a problem. But notice this. Notice verse 3. David knew this much. This was his 15-day song. But you are holy. You are enthroned, or one translation says, you inhabit the praise. Another translation said, you are wrapped in the praises of Israel. So he was saying the truth, not denying circumstance, but he knew there was something deeper that would minister to his mind, to his heart, to his actual physical body. And in this moment, there was an understanding of the importance of praise. And if you spend more time, not we won't do it today, but if you spend more time in that chapter, chapter 22, for the next 4 or 5 verses, he goes back after he says that, and right after that, he goes right into a history lesson. And he says something to the effect of, our fathers, in other words, our covenant fathers, they trusted you, you delivered them. They cried to you, they were delivered. They trusted in you, they were not ashamed. Well, that's true, but it didn't happen that easy and that quick. That's what happens when you get further away. You rewrite things in your head, right? And here's David. He's heard all these stories, the water opened and all these things. And here's David. He drops this and he said, but I'm a worm. I'm a worm. I'm no man. I'm no man. You don't have that up there, sweetie. You can just think. He said, I'm the reproach of men. I'm despised by people. All those who look at me, they ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head. That's what he said. And they said, he trusted in God. Let God rescue him. Let him deliver him. That's the guy who said, God, you live in the praise of your people. Well, the very next verse. By the way, praise can start by reminding God of his faithfulness. And right in the middle of this rant, David bust out. I think it's in verse 9 somewhere. He said, but you are the one that took me out of the womb. It's your fault. I'm here because of you. You pulled me. You birthed me. He said, I was cast upon you from birth, he said in verse 10. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. don't be far from me because trouble is near me, he said in verse 11. And there's no one to help me. He's fried. He's worn out. He is worn out. Verse 14, he said, I feel like I'm poured out like water. Saw that kid, that little quarterback yesterday from TCU. He was so worn out. He had played. He laid it on the field, man. He was like a wet rag. He had done all he could do there, and it just wasn't quite. David was like, I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart's like wax, and it's melting inside of me. You know what? You might be here right now, but it's okay, because verse 3 is already in the middle of that. Mechanically, I know that because I tell you how he knows it, because further down in the 22nd and the 23rd verse, he says, here's what he said, I will declare your name to my brethren. That's verse 20, 22. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Now, they tell you in English, in writing, there's a sentence when you make an emphatic statement that is called what? A declarative statement. Okay? And it is, in fact, you declare something. You there. This is a declarative statement that he wrote here. But how did he do that? How did he get to that? He says it right here. You who fear the Lord, that's y'all, that's me, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, is that y'all? Glorify him, all that, and fear him, all of you offspring. Who are the all here? That's covenant kids. That's you and me right now. How did he get to this point? He talked it said. He declared it. He sang it. This is such great historical significance for all of us right now. And the spiritual power is what we do when we are in this thing, because God is good. Oh, you. Nobody's disagreeing with me right now. You're smiling at me. This feels good right now. But sometimes we get slammed. And we get slammed, and in the process, the song stops. This is where your fight's going to be every day. Every day. I've been there. But don't let it. In this life, we all have feelings. We all have experiences. We all have circumstances that are not really conducive to praise at the moment, because you're human. We've walked through pain. Some of us have walked through persecution. Some of us have walked through ridicule. Some of us who walk through disappointment. Some have walked through fear, physical fear and emotional fear. Some have memories of loss, especially at this time of year. Some have hardened hearts now. And that's even caused sin. That's because we're people. You ain't got that glorified body yet. You don't have it yet. It's coming. We've all had our personal derailing experiences where the loss of our song has seemingly played out, and we needed a song to get us through, but yet there were times that we didn't have the strength even to do it. That's why you've got to have good music playing in your house. And that's the first thing we tell somebody. I'm going through a rough time. Are you playing the praise music? Are you playing the music of the worship right now? I have a very, very vivid memory. I don't know if I've told it before, but I'll tell it briefly because I don't want. It was very moving to me personally. We were going through a very, very difficult place, and we were home, and it was late. It was already dark and everything, and I was in my in the other room. Linda was doing something. All of a sudden, I heard music playing, and she sat down at the piano, and she started slowly playing praise songs. And I sat there, and at first I said, that sounds good. And then I realized that was a healing that was coming. And I remember sitting there, and I didn't say a word because I didn't want to mess it up. And she'd start something over, and she'd do something there. And I'll never forget that. And it was a word to me of the praises and the song that will touch you even in a difficult time. And when I thought I didn't have really what I needed to have at that moment right now. So the song is already in your mouth, just like the word of faith that's already in your mouth. It's within your reach. It's powerful. It'll help it'll help change your thinking, and it'll also help change your vocabulary. Matt read the whole story, but I'm not going to read that. Remember the magistrates, they grabbed Paul and Silas because they were preaching, and they dragged them in there, and they said, you've created a lot of trouble in our city, and you know, I don't want your customs here. We don't want to hear this thing. A multitude rose up against them. They tore their clothes off. They commanded them to be beat up. When they put stripes on them, they paid a price for their song. They threw them into prison. They commanded the jailer to keep them securely. And having this kind of charge, they put him in chains. They put him in stocks. Now, I've got to tell you, I haven't been to the point of that. But boy, during that time, I would have said, yeah, that's the same thing. No, it's a different, but the same remedy is there. The same truth is there. The same thing. My question, are you still singing? Are you still singing? It said, and at midnight. Stop right there. Midnight is the darkest point. Midnight's the darkest point. God, don't you know it's midnight? I'll sing when the lights are on. I'll sing when the sun's shining. I'll sing when it ain't raining. I'll sing when I'm doing good and I got a few extra dollars in my checking account. I'll sing when those are okay. God, I'll sing. I'll do that when it's okay and everybody loves me and I have no problems. But at the midnight hour, there's a whole concept about the midnight hour. I don't have time to go through it right now. But at the midnight hour, they were praying and they were singing hymns. Let me tell you the value. Let me tell you the value of the song. The song can help you. Somebody else wrote it. And when you're trying to remember lyrics and say, it's how you're wired, okay? When you're trying to remember lyrics, it's very hard for your mind to go somewhere else. You got it? You got it? And some of you right now, that I'm having trouble, you might be getting a little older right now. You might be getting a little older right now. You mean maybe you need to sometimes start quoting some of those songs. You need to read some of those, that hymnology there. Some of those things, because as you're saying that, your ears are hearing that. Faith comes by hearing. And it doesn't just have to be from the guy on TV with his hand on the screen there. You can do it all by yourself. You can say that right. It comes by hearing the word of God. Over and over, and you can say these things over and over and over and over. And when you sing those hymns, oh, that with yonder sacred throng, we don't talk like that anymore. We at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Okay. Well, I don't know those old. Well, you know, you're a good, good father. Yes, you are. That's who you are. You know those songs. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. You can sing those kind of things. You can go back, pick some old ones up. And I know a bunch of them. Those things come to me sometimes. And it's a gift. And by the way, if you think you're slipping in some of your memory, start memorizing those things, memorizing the word, and start saying those things out loud to keep your mind sharp there. You won't remember your phone number, but you'll remember that word right now that you're doing that right now. They were singing hymns, and even the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't doing it for the prisoners. They were doing it as unto God. That'll teach you something. There have been times over the last years, maybe in a difficult patch, that after this, and y'all are rejoicing, wasn't that a good, good day, that we went home, and we were worn out, and that's all we had to give at that point in time. And the only thing I had was, we did it as unto God today. Let's go home. But it was truth, and it comes, it keeps giving, and it doesn't run out of gas. The prisoners were listening. Suddenly, I love the suddenly word, there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. The doors were open immediately. Everyone's chains were loose. Now, that's a three-point message I'm going to do one day. The foundations were shaken, the doors were opened, and the chains were loosed. That'll be a message down the road, okay? Just be ready for it and go, oh, I haven't heard that before. But when I was doing this, I've underlined this in such a way that lets me go back and come do it. But how do we do that? You remember the problem with the children of Israel? They could sing when it was really cool and God was dropping bread out the sky and birds were falling out the sky and the water was coming out of rocks. They were dancing and the shoes were growing with them and they were singing and the clouds were doing their thing right there. Oh God, you are great. Now you have triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into. But it wasn't too very long that they started having a real problem right there. You remember when they beforehand though, when they were when they were taken captive, they said, "Sing, y'all are musical. Y'all can sing. Y'all can get down." We're listening to some of our Christmas music, and we're listening to some of these arrangements, and we're listening to that, and some of these songs that are just traditional like that, and you're hearing some arrangements there. And I go, some church people did that arrangement. Some church people, well, I tell, a black church did that arrangement for that little white girl right there, because she didn't think that up right now. A Pentecostal person wrote that right now for that country singer right now. You hear that singing right there? He didn't learn that over. That's why Elvis always kept trying to reproduce that sound. He remembered being a little kid. That's why Aretha always, she was raising it. She heard that sound. And when people hear it, they get all excited. You go to the gospel tent at the and most of them are in no more spiritual than this desk right here, right now. And they're there and they're singing them, and people are standing and they're swaying and something does. Why? There's something in that. There's something in that. There's something in that that touches them and draws them, because it is powerful. It is true. Things happen when that happens. And they said, "Sing these songs." "We can't sing. We're in a strange land." They lost their song. But you got to sing it, you got to speak it, you got to praise him. You got to sing it, you got to speak it, you got to praise him. You got to sing it, you got to speak it, you got to praise him out of your mouth. By the way, praise does not just speak to God. Praise does not speak to God, if I read the Paul and Silas word right. Praise also speaks to everything surrounding us. Praise serves notice on anybody who listens. Praise, well, you want to go into a volatile thing? Start saying a praise word and watch what happens. I was in a business the other day, and there, you could tell, you could just cut the tension there right now. They're all understaffed, and none of them want to be there to begin with. And you walk up there, and you're grinning. "How you doing?" Not even looking at it. And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And all of a sudden, the lady went. I did it on the phone the other day. I was holding on, listening to music, waiting for over and over and over. And I went, and I didn't quite tell the truth. I'd been holding on for about 30 minutes. And I went, "Well, praise God. I got a human faster than I anticipated." And it threw the lady off. It was a guy. His name was Bob. You know Bob. And it throws them off their script. You know what I mean? And you'd be amazed at how it changed the climate of what was going on there. Praise speaks to all surrounds. Also, praise out of your mouth serves notice on all who are listening, and that even means the power of hell. Praise speaks to us too. Paul said it this way: "I'm trying to land this plane, but I'm having fun, and there's no game anyway." Paul said this in 15 of Ephesians 5. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools." Remember that? I read, "Fools do not understand it." The senseless people walk around as fools. Here's what I see in the world today. When I see people on TV talking and everything and all these things right now, my mind goes right back to the scripture. Presuming themselves wise, they have become utter fools. Yeah. "See that you walk circumspectly. Redeem the time, because the days are evil." Now, those statements right there help us keep the song atmosphere going. Do not be unwise, but understand. Well, how do we do that? How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? Here's how you start. Do not, he's talking in the natural, but he's doing the spiritual parallel. "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation," to be impaired. You can't hear when you're impaired. "But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another." And when and this is the scripture that was read last week, in Psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord. Now let's grab that. You can't stop the flow, because there's something inside of you that God put inside of you. God put inside of you that something will happen if you keep this thing churning in your heart. I mean, Jesus said in John 7, out of your innermost being, there are rivers of living water. In your innermost being, everybody stand up right now. I'm going to ask you for the next moment or so to open your mouth in faith. Open your mouth in an affirmation toward God. Ask God, "Lord, even just help me to keep the song coming. Lord, help me keep the song coming." You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, start by opening your mouth. Start by declaring the word. Psalm 40, verse 3, "He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it, many will fear it, but and will trust in the Lord because of our song," right there. Her old friend Pat Boone, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit back in the 70s, and he wrote the very famous book, and he called his life story "Sing a New Song." He had sung for so many years, and his book was called "A New Song," and thousands of people were touched by Pat Boone and by his conversion there. The same concept is in the 96th Psalm: "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." Quit singing the same old threadbare thing. Start being creative with God. If you went home and told the girl or told the man at home the same thing every week, and you read it, wrote, do you think they'd be listening very long to that? But we go to God, oh, hallelujah, you're great, God, hallelujah, na, na, na. And God's going, no, sing a new song to the Lord. He said, I can't do it. Well, it's inside of it, it's a river. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, that's y'all. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation. That's where you start. Declare it, it said, his glory and his wonders. For the Lord is great, he's greatly to be praised, he's to be feared above all gods. So let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in all of its fullness, let the field be joyful, all that's in it, all the trees in the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. In other words, we should all be singing until then. You heard the little preacher said, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Keep singing. So as you meld into another new year, I am still imploring you to do what I told you 2.5 years ago. Don't lose your song because it's your secret weapon. The message is not over, but neither are the storms. In fact, bigger storms are coming. Bigger storms are coming. But those who speak, who sing it, who praise, those who declare when your feet, Lord, you are good, today's your day, God. Then when your head goes back down, Lord, you have been faithful. The message is not over. So obviously, I got to come back to it again, even deeper than this. Your song is the ticket to your safety. Your song is your ticket to your sanity. Your song is your ticket to your health. Your song is your ticket in everything. And you just got to stay on it. Sing it, speak it, praise him. So I ask you, are you still singing? Yeah, you are. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. You're a good God. We sing a song of thanks to you, O God. We sing an old song. We sing a new song. We sing a song we've never heard before. We sing a song that we've heard all of our lives. You work in all of those things, God. Lord, we bless you today. And let's just thank God for his goodness. He's going to be good tomorrow because he's faithful today. And he's been faithful in the past.